and welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us today. It is not a tropical vacation type of day, but the good news is I have a full house of people who can help us make it bright and sunny right here in studio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bridget Riedel, Ag Director here at WDAY, and I've got a guest host, really. So many of you have heard me asking and encouraging those to apply for the Assistant Ag Director job. And I'm looking for a student. I want one student per month to come on in and sit in a chair and help out and just do exactly what we do every day. We talk to guests. We talk about topics and so forth. And today I have Jocelyn Berkland. Jocelyn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Please introduce yourself. You're not exactly new to the show.
Right. So I've been on the show twice before. It was really fun. Thanks for having me back. I'm a junior in high school, and I am in our chapter's FFA chapter, and I am the vice president. In the future, I hope to attend NDSU for something ag-related, not quite sure what yet.
Suddenly, there's a whole line of NDSU folks on their way to have a talk with
right.
you.
Right. And both sides of my family are grain farmers, and I am the fifth-generation farmer. Our operation is near Fort Ransom. And then just a fun little fact about us is our family was Farm Rescue's 800th case in the fall of 2021.
Okay, that's fantastic. I didn't know that until just a little bit earlier when we were visiting. And for you, as a student, you said that was in 21. What do you remember about Farm Rescue coming to the farm? That's a big memory, I think.
Yeah, it was kind of exciting because everyone was so nice and they brought their brand new combine and they brought a semi and we were interviewed because it was such a big deal that we were the 800th case.
So, it was. Yeah. I do distinctly remember when they talked about the 800th, and now having spent some time talking with Farm Rescue because they were the recipient of our proceeds from our Here We Grow project this summer where we custom farmed 20 acres of corn. Those folks, they talk about being well over 1,200. I think they're approaching 1,300 families now that they've assisted.
Yeah, I've seen it's really grown, yeah.
And so they were out for harvest for you. Yeah. Did you get to stay home from school? Did you get to ride in the combines and the trucks?
There was one day I remember where I actually missed one of the interviews because I was at school and my brother got to stay home. So
it's ridiculous public education.
Yeah.
But you got to be there for most of them.
Yeah.
I think that's all. And so now in FFA, you are part of the Enderlin chapter.
Yep.
And what are some of the contests that you participate in at Enderlin?
I am in the agronomy contest for CDEs in the spring. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, I was on our Parley Pro team.
Nice.
And for the state convention, I also competed in floriculture.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got quite a number under your belt.
Right.
And as just a sophomore.
Junior.
You've got a lot of room to go yet to do things with FFA.
Right.
Have you been to national convention?
I have. One time.
Okay. Not that I want to, be the person who's paying. I'm not paying for this, but I'm going to encourage you, go more.
Right.
At this point, your mom's like, really? How many more things do I have to send her to? So, but there's lots. So one of the things that we have to do, though, is we have to talk a little bit about the weather today, Jocelyn. And that is, looking today, there is a dense fog advisory, very widespread dense fog, freezing fog. In fact, when I got into Fargo today, I stopped to pick up lunch for us, and there was a freezing wet drizzle that was coming down. That was unpleasant. I'd prefer not to have that. We don't anticipate sunshine, but a high of close to 29 degrees. It's tomorrow back in the 20s, but we are getting close to a very cold weekend. Were you planning on being outdoors this weekend, Jocelyn?
Not really.
I would say if you were, wear gloves.
Better and dress.
Yeah, dress warm.
Yeah.
It's going to get brisk. There is a clipper coming down. And looking at the road report for North Dakota right now, all highways around the Fargo-Moorhead area look wet. And it's the rest of the state is in good winter driving condition. But if you look at I-29 up and down the valley, she looks wet. For those of us who drove in today, it was slick. Right. You guys noticed it too. What was it like as you were getting closer to Fargo?
Yeah. As we got closer to Fargo, the fog was way more dense and then it got slippery. My grandma said she couldn't even walk up her driveway. She just kept sliding.
I'm right there with her.
Yeah.
Careful going to the mailbox. It's a stop, drop, and roll situation if you're on an incline. So be careful. And frankly, for those who are out, and if you have road reports, you can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. And I'm keeping a close eye on the email box as well, and you can reach me, weather@flagfamily.com today. So lots of awesome things that we get to talk about. And one of those is, before we get to our guest today, Jocelyn, you and I have been reviewing some of the headlines that are going on right now in ag. And one of them you mentioned caught your eye. Do you remember which one?
Right. So this was an article about the potash mines in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So as someone who's participated in the agronomy contest, do you have a lot of familiarity with potash or what we use it for?
A little bit, but I know that it's a fertilizer.
Okay. Fertilizer. And then in the research that you have, do you remember what its benefits were? We had a spot in our article that we circled for that especially. So I'll let you give the benefits of potash. Look at that star right over, flip the page over and right where that star is.
Oh, yes.
See, there we go.
Yeah, so potash supports photosynthesis and respiration, drought tolerance, crop hardiness, and disease resistance.
Absolutely. And we look at potash as a potassium fertilizer. We apply it pretty regularly here in this part of the U.S. in North Dakota. When we think about why it's important to have potash close by to us in Canada. Okay, so pop quiz. We did a lot of this discussion earlier. Who were the other two major exporters of fertilizer globally?
Russia and China.
And we have concerns about them for a couple of reasons. Which one do you recall?
So Russia is currently at war with Ukraine, and so they aren't really wanting to export their potash to us.
Exactly. And with China, there's always some negotiation that happens, and they might not always be our best trade partner. But right. Canada certainly is. And as we look at Saskatchewan, just Canada overall, you know, they're managing about 91%, or excuse me, not 91%. They're giving us 91% of our fertilizer down here, but they're a major exporter globally. And with the potassium mines just up into Saskatchewan, they are a single largest employer at the Nutrien plant. That's the Allen facility in Allen, Canada. And I've had the opportunity to be in one of those potash mines. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
when you go down the mine shaft, the speed at which you're traveling is about 437 yards per minute. That's the length of a football field in 15 seconds. So hold on. It's quick.
Yeah.
Ambient temperature down there is a constant 81 degrees. And as we talked about, when you go out underground for the mining, it's a pretty big distance.
Right.
So if you recall what some of that distance was underground.
Yeah, I learned that it stretches 12 miles north to south and then 9 miles from east to west, which is crazy.
And you're driving that underground.
Right.
Right. So you're going out to where the mining machines are, and then it's a conveyor system that brings that potash back to the main shaft. It goes up to the surface where they refine it before it gets shipped out. One of the benefits that we talked about, too, with potash was for transportation to us.
Right. Canada is so close to us, so it's easy that we can just put this potash on a train or on a truck, and it's easily sent right to us.
So much easier for us to move that product around than if we were having to worry about barge transportation, et cetera. And we didn't mention this when you and I were having a discussion, but right now the Mississippi is still at some record low levels. It hasn't perked up yet, and so barge traffic is definitely slowed. We're right. not moving as much product around that direction as we once did. Some of those mines, you know, again, they're big and they're deep. And as I mentioned to you, when you are riding in the little jeeps underground going out to see the mining machines, you literally feel the salt on you.
Yeah.
like you lick the back of your hand and it's the, you know, the adults in the room will get this, but you lick the back of your hand. It's like the setup for the margarita and, or the tequila shot. And you just feel that in you. They stopped one of the jeeps. They turned off all the lights. And that is absolutely the darkest you could possibly imagine.
Right.
Not something one was expecting. So, yes. So we want to make sure that our potash keeps moving very, very well out of Canada. We want to keep a close supply here because it's one of our most prevalent products that we use. And then also, we talked about, well, how does it get here? Because when you think about it, it's a salt. Normally, that'd be associated with a large body of water. But how many large body of waters are in Saskatchewan?
Not very many.
If any at all.
Yeah.
So how did they find, why do they think the potash is there?
So there was actually a lake in Peru, I believe, or something with the tectonic plates where they moved underground all the way up to Saskatchewan from Peru.
Yes, that's where it originated. And they think that scientists think that because of the way the tectonic plates moved, that's how we got all of that salt to mine underneath Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's an incredible story, I guess.
Wait till you go back and talk to your science teacher about this stuff, right? Guess what I learned today?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot that supports all of that. We do some other major mining here in the U.S. Actually, we see some of that happening in Florida. We also do some other mining in the western states, but it's a pretty unique spot for us to be in. So we've got lots to talk about today. We have a guest. Would you like to introduce our guest's name before we bring him after our news break?
Yeah, we have Mark Vining here from the Rookery Rock Winery in Absaraka, North Dakota.
Okay, so some of us get to look at the samples. You do not. You can have some of the cheesecake we brought into the studio, okay? Yeah, that's going to have to be more your speed. But yes, Mark Vining's going to join us today. Because we realize that his vineyard has an awful lot to do with local berries, local plants. Some of them you and I didn't even know.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to find out what a sea berry is.
Right.
Okay. So we will do that after we touch base with the Northern Ag Network. We'll get the markets and we'll come back with our guest. And again, that's Mark Vining. He is with the Rookery Rock Vineyard out at Absaraka. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us because today is a fabulous day. The one thing we probably aren't going to have would be, there it is, thunder. But we got a lot of everything else. So watch out for the dense fog, freezing rain. Goodness, just be safe out there. It's supposed to warm up a little bit and hopefully roadways clean up. But if you have a road report, again, you can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. So one of our regular Monday sponsors is the Great Harvest Bread Company. Jocelyn, have you ever been there?
I have had her products and they're amazing.
They are fabulous. Cassie is the owner and she comes in. Today she did not bring us samples. Wow.
That's too bad.
Another time.
I should have called her. She could have brought samples to go with the wine.
You know what? I think she would do a fabulous job of setting us up for that.
Yes, she does.
She does great. And so with Great Harvest Bread, they have all sorts of soups and sandwiches. And if you haven't been there before, have you looked at their menu, Jocelyn? Anything catch your eye?
I think their breakfast sandwich looks good.
I think it would be very good.
Yeah.
They do homemade soups,
fresh
cookies, scones, all sorts of things every single day. And they have a true commitment to the grains that they work with. They make sure that they are some quality products. They make sure that it's something that you would want to use with your family as well.
Right. And no chemicals with their, no pesticides on their whole wheat.
Right, on their whole wheat. And then they also make sure that anytime any of their wheat is treated, it is well below any EPA guidelines. So they do a fabulous job. So if you haven't had a chance yet, stop at Cassie's at Great Harvest Bread. Just like Mark said, you could make sure to have some to go with the wine. And that voice is our guest today. Mark, one of them anyway, Mark Vining. And Mark, all right, you're going to need to explain a little bit because we've been using Rookery Rock and then also Agassiz Orchard sort of interchangeably. So give us some details if you would.
So the orchard and the vineyard is actually called Agassiz Shores Orchard and Vineyard because we are on the Campbell Beach of ancient glacial Lake Agassiz. So the Campbell Beach was the highest beach, the furthest, the widest Lake Agassiz was. At where we're at, on the Absaraka exit, Lake Agassiz was 60 miles wide and 140 feet deep.
Okay, hold on. Before we get, we're going to get to the wine yet, but hold on. Because I'm always fascinated by that. As a kid who grew up in South Central North Dakota, when you think about how big that lake was, 60 miles wide, and you said how many feet deep?
It was 140 feet deep. So we're actually 140 feet above the Red River Valley.
And you don't feel it when you're going west.
Well, there is elevation in North Dakota. It's just gradual.
It's very gradual. I live at Hunter. I'm a little further to the northeast of you. And for me, you're right. My drop in elevation is very, very slow as I would get to the bottom of the Red River Valley. Where do you find, some people may say, how do you know that? How did you research that?
It took me about at least 5 years to find the piece of land that I wanted to start my orchard and vineyard on. And part of my research I had some help from some geologists,
okay.
A retired geologist professor at NDSU.
Okay.
And so Don actually, he's the one who told me about the Campbell Beach and the history of it. And so I didn't Google it all, but but it is part of the reason I wanted to be on the shoreline.
Okay.
Was my intention was to grow grapes. I didn't initially intend to grow a lot of fruits and berries, but grape vines don't like to have their roots constantly wet. So to find something out of the gumbo soil of the Red River Valley was important to me. And I wanted to be as close to Fargo as I could, but out of the gumbo soil, that happened to be ideal. So I've got about a foot and a half of sandy loam,
mm-hmm.
and below that is sand and gravel. Because I'm on the Campbell Beach, I'm actually on the shoreline, so it's a sandy beach.
How did it get named Campbell over there? I've never heard the Campbell Beach name.
I have no idea, but there is actually a Campbell Beach vineyard in Minnesota. Some friends of mine, the yeah. Waggers, actually own a vineyard towards Holly. They're 60 miles away from me.
So they're on the other side
of
the lake.
They're on the other side of the lake.
That is excellent. And as you said, grapes don't like wet feet. And so I was going to ask you, what was your criteria for buying that piece of land? And not having gumbo there was a big part of it.
So I was really picky. I wanted to be fairly close to Fargo, so my criteria was out of the gumbo soil,
mm-hmm.
within 30-minute drive of Fargo,
mm-hmm.
and within sight of an interstate.
Oh,
so
sure.
If you draw a circle around Fargo, there's a very narrow band. I actually looked up at Hunter, where I had a friend who was helping me grow grapes. We looked at a lot of land,
yeah.
and the land that we bought was not for sale. The person who owned it had no intention of selling any land. It was her family farmstead.
Oh, sure.
But I talked her into selling 70 acres so I could start the orchard and the vineyard.
Nice. Okay, and you can jump in here anytime, Jocelyn. You can just stop us. So as you were thinking about getting that piece of land ready, what was your prep like? What did you have to do?
So the first year, we bought it in 2009. We picked out 12 acres that was...
Out of the 70.
Out of the 70. So a lot of that acreage was small cow-calf pasture land.
Oh, that's fertile.
And there was, yes. And then there was also some, we call it a water feature.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakotans call it a slough. Minnesota, it's a lake. So for us, it's a water feature.
Okay, water feature. Got it.
But we picked 12 acres that the previous year had been a cornfield. And we put up an 8-foot-high woven wire fence to keep the deer out.
Nice.
And then we rototilled that 12 acres 4 times. And that was how we got started for planting the first year. And it's really quite fertile soil. We have 5 different kinds of soil within that 12 acres. We have anything from a 41 production index up to a 95 production index, all within 12 acres.
Wow. So when you were looking at doing all of this, you said 2009 you really got started.
Actually, I started looking about 2004.
But it was 2009 when you had ground,
yes.
and could start planting.
Yes.
How long until you harvested anything?
The plan was, I actually had a 10-year plan for pre-retirement.
Okay.
I'm a retired commercial banker, so we get into minutia details. The plan was to start planting and not build the winery until our orchard vineyard were near at least half production, so
okay.
we could source most of our materials from on site. So the first year was a soil conservation planting. Everything we put in the ground in 2009 was from Cass County Soil Conservation. We put in 100 June berries, 100 sea berries, 100 aronia berries, 100 choke cherries. Oh, and actually it wasn't all 100% soil conservation. We put in 100 yellow choke cherries also.
Okay.
It's an albino mutation of a red choke cherry.
So if it's an albino mutation, but you've chosen to expand that. So it's not just a rarity. It's becoming a more normality for you.
It's our signature wine. We were the first winery, commercial winery ever to make yellow chokecherry wine. And there are only two known commercial chokecherry orchards in North America. We have one, and the other one is in Miles City, Montana, where Tongue River Winery makes what they call white chokecherry. They have yellow chokecherries because I gave them 25 of my potted plants.
We have a lot of questions for you because Jocelyn and I made a list earlier. And when we come back from bottom of the hour news, what are some of the things you want to ask him, Jocelyn?
I'm curious about what some of your berries are because some of them I've never heard of.
Some of them are fairly rare for this area.
Okay. We're going to have a lot of questions about that, like the sea berry.
Yeah, and the aronia berry.
The aronia berry, which has become a little more popular, but we have many things to cover like that. And for others who are listening, again, you can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line, 701-293-9000, as well as if you are watching on the live stream, whether on Facebook, Acres TV, as well as YouTube, you can send messages there. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, where it's not as bad as some would think.
A bomb cyclone. What's a bomb cyclone?
Nobody knows.
I don't even know what to do.
Me either.
If there was a snowstorm or a blizzard, I would know what to do.
Get the bread and milk.
What do I do in a bomb cyclone? My God. Bomb cyclone. I don't know what to do.
Well, we're hoping that none of it gets that bad, but we are expecting later this week it's going to get cold. So bundle up if you'll be spending some time outside over the weekend. Today, we anticipate no sunshine, so that dense fog advisory will continue. Right now, we have also seen roads have improved somewhat. They're not quite as slippery, but as we get towards the end of the day, that will slicken up right again, especially I-29 and I-94 right around the Fargo area. By weekend, we're looking at colder temperatures down in the single digits, as well as potential snowfall. I am not a meteorologist, but there, that's my best interpretation of one. I am joined today by several folks in studio. I have the great pleasure of having my assistant ag director, my first one for the inaugural run. That is Jocelyn Berkland. She's joining us from the Enderlin FFA chapter. I always like to make sure I throw your chapter in.
Right.
They need a little recognition. And then also we have a guest with us, and that's Mark Vining. And Mark, you have explained that you are on the Campbell Beach of Lake Agassiz for the Agassiz Orchard, but the winery has a different name.
Yes.
So, do we go from here? Okay. We got lots to talk about.
The winery is located at Agassiz Shores. The winery name is Rookery Rock Winery. And I get a lot of people ask, how did you ever come up with the name Rookery Rock?
Right.
So I've been collecting penguins since I was 5 years old. So a long time.
But it's only been
approximately.
Considering you're 29, Mark, yes. It's fine.
So when I was 5 years old, my grandfather took my brothers and me to a department store and told us that we could pick out any stuffed animal we wanted to in the store. And I was kind of a pain in the butt even back then. And there was one stuffed penguin on the very top shelf, and that's the one I wanted.
Top shelf is usually expensive, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that started my collection of penguins.
Okay.
And that penguin is actually on display at the winery. It's 65 years old. And so penguins are born in a rookery.
Okay, yes.
And most penguins are from areas that don't have grass and sticks and things that you normally see to make nests. And a rookery is the nest.
Mm-hmm.
So their nest is made out of rock. So it's Rookery Rock is the birthplace of penguins. It's also the birthplace of our wine.
Oh, that's excellent. I like that. Okay, so some of the questions that we've come up with today, I'm going to have Jocelyn lead off because, again, as a kid in an agronomy contest, she had some pretty good ones.
So I read your list of all the produce that you grow, and that's a huge list. And we were just talking about your yellow chokecherries, and you should tell everyone how you found these.
So yellow chokecherry is an albino mutation of a red. And a friend of mine who had the farmstead just near Hunter, we had his daughter out picking chokecherries for me. And she found a yellow chokecherry bush. And she picked a ice cream bucket and wasn't sure exactly what they were, but they were in with the red choke cherries. And the birds were eating them and not dying, so we thought, okay, they're not poisonous. So there's our first question.
Positive reinforcement right there.
Yeah, it was really scientific. And they tasted citrusy. They look like a choke cherry, but they're citrusy. So made wine out of it. It was actually pretty good. And I did a bunch of research and found out that about 10% of red choke cherries mutate into yellow. So scattered throughout most shelter belts in North Dakota, you'll find a yellow choke cherry, but nobody picks them because they're looking for red. They're not looking for something yellow. They think it's an unripe choke cherry.
So they're more prevalent than we thought.
Yes, they're about 10% of choke cherries actually are yellow.
Oh, okay. Neat.
But yeah, we actually started to propagate them so we knew which ones were going to be yellow. And it took us about 5 years to propagate 100 choke cherry trees that we put into our orchard.
Mental note, starting a winery, not an overnight business.
Correct.
Good to know. Okay.
And then one more question I had. I've never heard of a sea berry. So what is that?
So sea berry was, it's sold to us by the Soil Conservation Service.
And really?
It's actually not planted as a cash crop. It's known as also a sea buckthorn. Another name for it is Russian pineapple.
And just straight buckthorn, because that's an overwintering plant.
But it is not actually a straight buckthorn.
But could, okay, so when I think about buckthorn, I think about soybean aphids will overwinter on buckthorn.
Right.
And I'm going to guess that they would do that on this sea berry as well.
The sea berry is actually a little different.
Okay.
A buckthorn has a white berry that's unedible.
Uh-huh.
The sea berries have a little yellow pea-sized berry that grows right along the base of the stems.
Okay.
And it looks like a Russian olive bush. If you've probably seen them and not realized.
I would identify it as a Russian olive.
Yes. Long, okay. Thin leaves. Yeah. The leaves have phenomenal medicinal properties. We dehydrate the leaves and make green tea out of them.
Sign me up.
That I actually give those to friends who are going through, people who are going through chemotherapy.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal.
Yep.
To settle stomachs. It's got a whole page of medicinal properties.
I am a tea drinker. I've never gotten the hang of coffee. Somebody once told me it puts hair on my chest, so I stayed away from it. Remember that, Jocelyn? Growing up, you don't have to drink coffee. So, you know, for me, tea, that sounds like an awesome addition to what you're selling at the winery.
However, they're horribly invasive.
Okay.
Because the Soil Conservation Service in Cass County sells them to hold the soil that's highly erodible.
Okay.
So they sucker horribly. And I was warned by Tony at Soil Conservation,
yes,
don't plant 100 of them. And I said, nope, I want 100 because I need all the berries. And he was right. Don't plant 100 of them.
Because now you have 300?
I have. It's choking out areas.
I bet.
But they're just, the little berries are 10 times vitamin C of a lemon. They're just phenomenally high citrus. We actually make a wine. We call it Hopped Rocker. We have a... I'm sorry, that's Agassiz Sunrise.
Okay.
Agassiz Sunrise has apples and sea berries, so it's a citrusy apple wine.
Oh, man. Okay. We have tons of questions. We haven't even gotten to the wine yet. All right. So there's a lot of things we got to get to talk about. When you talk about all those berries and you put up the 8-foot-high fence to keep the deer out, what do you do about birds?
We have an electronic bird scare system.
Okay.
And it's we've got several different chips that we can put in depending on the time of the year to target scaring away migrating birds. It plays, it sounds like Jurassic Park in the orchard. We've got speakers throughout, and it has the screeches of hawks and then distress calls of birds. We also use flash tape, the yellow or the red and silver Mylar tape. We do net all of our grapes. We do have to net the Juneberries and the cherries.
I bet.
Birds love Juneberries. And but we can't net 12 acres. So it's a combination of bird scare tactics and trying to time the harvest to get the fruit off before the birds get them all.
It's a race.
So what would be your best-selling product? Like, what would you recommend to someone?
Right now, the blackcurrant berry wine and our plum crazy, which we're out of.
Is that wild plums?
Well, we tamed them.
Okay.
They were wild, but we tamed them.
Okay. So,
that was also part of soil conservation. It's the prairie red plum developed by University of South Dakota. But it's a mixture of four different plums. We have over 80 plum trees, so we use a mixture of plums to get a blending of some flavors. But the plum and the blackcurrant are extremely popular. But now we just bottled our Cherries Jubilee. We just bottled it a month ago, and that's becoming extremely popular. It's four kinds of cherries. There's Meteor, which people have probably heard of, Nanking.
Yes.
And that's another soil conservation planting. And then we have Carmine Jewel and Crimson Passion, which were from the University of Saskatchewan. And so we blend those four together, and then it's the only wine that we make using something other than sugar. We use all American crystal sugar, but in this case, we used honey, and it's all honey from the bees on our site. We have an apiary that brings boxes out, and they pay us in honey. So our Cherries Jubilee wine is made 100% with ingredients from our site.
Okay. Does that, a couple of things. First of all, then the honey takes on the flavor of what's around it, right? Because your bees are right there. They're going to be part of your fruit tree, so you'll have a sweeter honey. But does that qualify you as a mead because you're using that as a sweetener?
It could be a mead. Actually, it's more of a melomel, which is another version. So Sue from Prairie Rose Meadery is probably going to tell me I'm telling you this wrong, but I'll deal with her later.
Okay.
but typically mead is fermented honey and then they add flavor. We're using the honey, we're fermenting the fruit and using the sugar in the fruit and then supplementing that with the honey to add enough sugar to get the alcohol content up to where we want it.
That's fabulous. Oh, we might have more questions. You can go ahead if you want.
Sure. Okay. So I was curious about any upcoming events that you have going on during the new year.
So right now for January, we're going to be dark. We have to do a lot of year-end stuff.
Sure.
Some of the coming events, the weekend before St. Patrick's Day, we always celebrate St. Urho's Day. St. Urho is a fake saint.
But why not have a day for him?
That the northern Minnesota Finlanders made up because they were jealous of the Irish, so they always have it the weekend before St. Patrick's Day.
They were sick of terrible things like lutefisk,
yes.
too. So, okay,
yes.
So, fair enough.
So we celebrate St. Urho's Day at the winery, and we serve moika stew, and we have grasshopper pie cheesecake. And
oh, nice.
So that's one of the events. We're going to do a sip and paint event. And we're also working with the weekend baker. We're going to do she does sourdough baking.
Very good.
So we're going to do some sourdough bread pairings.
All right. I have Tom who has called in and wants to ask a question. So, Tom, you can go right ahead.
Hey, yeah. See, just wanted to do a little bit follow up on the invasive species of buckthorn. It is, so anyone that's listening in Minnesota, it is considered definitely invasive and do not plant, even if it is healthy. The DNR warns against people that plant this stuff because, like he said, it takes over everything. So I just wanted to reiterate that.
Thanks for letting us know, Tom. Much appreciated because, yes, there are some species that we do want and some we don't all the time.
And I'm not even sure that you can plant it in Minnesota. I know there are some species that we can grow that are not allowed to be planted in other states.
Other states, that's right, because some are on their noxious weeds list. Okay, so you mentioned right before St. Patrick's Day. Were there other things that are up and coming for you, Mark?
We're going to do a sip and paint event, and we're working on that date. We haven't nailed down all of our dates yet, but
sure.
We publish those on our Facebook page. And so if you follow us on Facebook, typically 2 to 4 weeks before the event, we will publish those.
Now, also, as those are on the live stream, they can see that you brought props. They're right in front of you. What products did you bring with you today?
So there's kind of a a sample. We have 23 different wines.
Okay.
Mostly fruit wines, but we do have grape wines. We have 1,300 grape vines in our orchard. The first one is a, it's called Red Loon. It is a blend of three cold hardy red grapes. It's Frontenac and Marquette, which are from the University of Minnesota. And we have Petite Pearl in there, which is from a private breeder, Tom Plocker in Hugo, Minnesota. So it's done on a medium toasted oak, and it's done bone dry. So it's a dry red blend. Then we have Cherries Jubilee, which is the one we talked about. And then I also brought the Glacier Gold. It's our yellow chokecherry wine. So we have mostly fruit wines because that's what we can rely on primarily in this climate. We do have a wide variety of grapes planted. We have Frontenac, Edelmina, Frontenac Gris, Frontenac Blanc, St. Pepin, Sabrevois. We have Crimson Pearl, Petite Pearl, and Itasca. But we have a hard time getting them to fully ripen in this climate. So that's the primary reason why I planted so many different fruit trees and berry bushes. So from a business model, we always wanted to have product available to make our wine out of.
Mark, I just have to say thank you so much for taking the time to come in and join us and answer all the questions. And just one last time, where can folks find you?
So they can find us on Facebook at Rookery Rock Winery. And we are west of Castleton. We're on the Absaraka exit and exit 322. And if we do have some of our wines in Happy Harry's bottle shop, and the Spirit Shop also carries some of our wines. But it's easiest just to follow us on Facebook and watch for the events.
Outstanding. Okay, folks, don't go anywhere. Jocelyn and I have a couple of things we need to recap here when we return, especially one of them might just be touching on the weather. So hang tight. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you so much for being here. And note, there's something else you get to do today that's being live and in person. So, Jocelyn, I heard this summer was the first time you've ever been to Vegas.
Yeah, and it was while the temperatures were 120 degrees.
How'd you do in that?
It was rough, I guess.
Thank you for not lying. Yeah. But we are sending some listeners to Vegas. Do you want to give us the details?
So, this trip is presented by American Security and Gate. And it's brought to you in part by Frontier Airlines and Kingpin Social. So the winner will get a round trip airfare for two from Frontier Airlines that goes from Fargo to Vegas. You will get a hotel stay and two tickets to see the Eagles at the Sphere on Saturday, January 25th, as well as $500 of spending cash.
It's a pretty good trip. And today they could come out in person to qualify.
Right. So the qualifying stop today is at Kingpin's. From 3 to 5 p.m.
So folks can come on out. Please do be careful on the drive there because it's still a little slick outside. So we are seeing that right now temperatures are not going to break the freezing mark. And tomorrow they'll still be in the 20s. We're looking at an overnight low of somewhere around 16 degrees. Dense fog advisory is happening right now and that has not lifted. We anticipate, though, that it's going to get slick again towards the end of the day. And come the weekend, bundle up. It's going to be a bit brisk, and there's a 40% chance of snow starting on Sunday. We know a clipper system's coming in. If you are interested in looking at the new LRC calendar, I see that Dean put it up on the WDAY website, on the Facebook page, so you can go check it out there. So, it's been a busy day. Did the hour go fast, Jocelyn?
Yeah.
Is this something that you encourage other kids who do public speaking and so forth to give a try?
Yes, this was really fun, and you did a very good job of helping me feel comfortable beforehand.
Well, good.
So
I'm glad.
I felt pretty good about this.
No one should be scared to come into the studio.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you felt comfortable doing it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about all the headlines together beforehand. We don't always get the time to get each one of them in. In fact, there was one on an invasive species. And just a reminder, I talked about it on the earlier shows this morning, that when you are shipping things, and even during the holiday season, remember, sometimes we can't ship them, such as homemade wood crafts, because it's just like when you take camping.
Firewood.
And you can't be shipping that around. It could have some possible insects or species on it. So be careful. Check out the USDA website to find out what you can and can't do. And stick around because the Jay Thomas Show is next.